In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, especially those of us who are somewhat more familiar with the message of Fatima, will remember that one of the most basic calls of the Fatima message is the call precisely to stop sinning. It is imperative that we do not sin. In a certain sense, Christian perfection can be reduced to this. For in order to not sin, we have to be quite other than we actually are. We have to have, so to speak, big spiritual muscles to resist our opponent, or better, our opponents, who are very strong. If we are weak in the battle, we will not stand. These spiritual muscles, if you permit me to use a little analogy, are virtues, the Christian virtues, beginning with faith, beginning in a sense also with humility, and leading up through the practice of every virtue to the perfection of the Queen of Virtues, the full exercise of the Queen of Virtues, holy charity. What faith believes, hope awaits, and charity obtains. And these three theological virtues colour the whole of our spiritual life. This is the work that God has called us to. This is fundamentally each and every one of us. This is our vocation. So the call to stop sinning at Fatima embraces pretty much a call to holiness of life, a call indeed to become saints. Dear brothers and sisters, before we go any further, I want to put this call firmly in the context of the love of God, of the love of God. Firstly, and most obviously, we see the fact that he calls us from something which is grossly imperfect to something which is sublime. He calls us from our condition at the beginning of life, when we were born, each and every one of us, dead in our sins, that is, dead in sin, dead in original sin. He calls us to grace, to spiritual life, to supernatural life, vivifying every virtue through the practice of fidelity to the church, the commandments, the gospel. He calls us to glory. Where we come from is a situation of death. Where we're going to is, as St. Peter so beautifully puts it, a partaking in the divine life. And St. Paul writes about how we share in the sonship of the Son. We are adopted sons and daughters, if you wish, in the Son, Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, we share in his dignity when we persevere in grace, and when this grace leads us eventually to the glory of heaven. We possess God. He is ours forever, just as we are his. This is an incredible work of love. But along the way, we are aware that we commit many sins. And so the call to stop sinning is something very relevant to each and every one of us, to turn from sin. But the fact that God tolerates our sin is itself also indicative of his love. Our sins, if you wish, extended as they are through so many individual acts, through time, through space, are a little bit like the scourging of our Lord at the pillar, which went on for a long time. But Jesus remained at the pillar. He remained there so that the redeeming grace which he wanted to see eventually flower in us might first of all be won and then applied to each and every one of our souls, and then finally it might bring us truly to the happiness of heaven. St. Peter talks about this as well when he says that God's patience with us is directed towards, is in view of our conversion and our sanctification. But we mustn't delay that work, dear brothers and sisters. To see God and his action in time and space in terms of love, I think, is a very helpful way forward. Because the way that he calls us down is one that can sometimes be rather scary. When we hear our Lord's call, we are on the beginning of a road to Calvary. Because no one gets to heaven unless they come into contact with the saving mystery of the death of Christ on the cross. We are baptized into his death, says St. Paul. This is necessary in order that we might also rise with him, that we might be able eventually to go to heaven. But because of our imperfection, because of the fact that we are in many ways influenced by original sin, because of the fact that we have an enemy within and an enemy without, and an enemy in the world as well as our spiritual enemies, this journey is not at all easy. Sometimes we fall. Sometimes we do foolish things. We sin, precisely. We offend God. We break his commandments. We do what does not lead us to union with God. We do what is not in conformity with his truth, his goodness, his beauty. We don't reflect the image of Our Lady at Fatima, the beautiful Virgin, beautiful outwardly, but so much more beautiful, as the psalm says, interiorly. All the beauty of the King's daughter is within. We fall. What are we going to do? We hear perhaps our Lord saying to us, "Get behind me, Satan," as he said to St. Peter. When Peter was thinking in a worldly way, how often do we think in a worldly way? And if the Lord sweetly, as is his wont, but sometimes also quite bluntly, corrects us, rebukes us, helps us to understand that our thinking, our acting is not going to lead us to heaven, we must respond like St. Peter. We must persevere. Jesus said to Peter, "After you have recovered, strengthen your brothers." We must rise again after falling. Never lose hope. To lose hope would be a horrible sin, would be a big insult to God, a denial of his power or of his love. We don't want to do that, brothers and sisters. Let us never lose hope. No matter what we suffer, no matter what difficulties we face, let us understand these things in the light of our journey to perfection, to union with God. Strong in hope. Many times on this way, we will want to say to our Lord, "Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Lord, I'm not worthy of you." But this must also be followed up by the words which we say in the liturgy, but only say the word. Must also be followed up by faith, so that we're able to hear our Lord receive us once more into his friendship. Dear brothers and sisters, if we persevere in this way, with our eyes, spiritually speaking, fixed on the goal, then certainly we will arrive, because God's love and power will make it happen. We have a perfect model of this response to God's invitation in the two little blesseds whom we celebrate in a special way in this Mass, Blessed Giacinta and Francisco, the two shepherd children of Fatima who have been beatified. Hopefully one day Sister Lucia, who was a little one also herself at the time of the vision back in 1917, the visions, will be beatified one day, we hope. But what stands out in the life of these little children is their yes to God, a yes which was once emitted, a distinct yes, in fact, to God through the mediation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because one of the first things that she said to them was, "Are you willing to suffer so that sins might be repaired for, so that God's will might be accomplished?" And they said, as one, yes. Our Lady told them that the grace of God would be their comfort. But that yes was not enough. It needed to be repeated. It needed to be realized in a concrete way of life, in a concrete refusal to be scandalized at the cross. For these little ones, whose hearts were pure, as our opening prayer beautifully mentioned, who had not yet the complexity that comes from years of vice, a secular way of thinking about reality, a way of thinking and acting not enlightened by faith, not guided by charity, they responded perhaps somewhat more easily than we might have done. And yet the grace of God is capable of bringing from us also this same response. Dear brothers and sisters, we must persevere. Let us ask Our Lady then, herself a pure soul, indeed sublimely pure, the purest created soul after her Son. Let us ask her to inspire in us a firm faith, a strong hope, and an ardent charity, and to help us to strive with all our hearts, saying yes, yes to God, never yes, no, through our lives, turning away from sin, trusting in God's grace, so that one day we might obtain the reward that God wants to give us, His own self. This is the happiness of heaven. May Our Lady help us to attain it, and may she, through our fidelity, bring also many other souls to this happiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.